welcome back to the Back in Five podcast. My name is Sean Clark, and I'm joined once again with Bradley Belcher, our senior pastor. We're continuing on in the book of the Gospel of Mark, and we found ourselves in chapter 11, about halfway through the passage in Mark chapter 11 after the triumphal entry, and we get Jesus being challenged and his authority being challenged by all those present. And so can you kind of talk us through the passage a little bit?
Well, sure. We kind of ended up at the back end of 11 and then the introduction to chapter 12. But in the back end of chapter 11 and verse 27, Jesus is approached by the scribes and chief priests and elders and asking him, by what authority are you doing these things? Mm. And of course, some of those things that would be questioned here, you just cleansed the temple and, you're doing a lot of stuff kind of out of the box here, and you're kind of bugging us. And so who do you think you are, basically, is the question behind this.
Mm. Yeah, and I think we kind of find ourselves in that position a lot. I'm just trying to think of, who I am. A lot of times we're asking ourselves the question, by what authority, God, are you going to do anything in my life? And the interesting thing is Jesus here, he's so witty. He's so quick-witted. He knows what's happening, so he kind of turns it back on them because they're going to question his authority. So then he's going to propose a question about John's baptism. And so talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you'd almost think that Jesus is a student of Socrates here in verse 29. Well, I'll ask you one question. Answer me, and I'll tell you by what authority I do these things. So he just throws it kind of right back in their face and then kind of asks them this difficult conundrum about John the Baptist. And, there's really, they can't answer it, because the minute they do, one way or the other, they pigeonhole themselves. Either they should have been listening to John all along, or they're going to make the crowds really angry.
Yeah. So he kind of stops them in their tracks. And then he goes further. So you talked about, his authority is without question, even though that we think we might have all the answers. He's the one who's the creator, sustainer of everything. He is the ultimate authority, and he kind of stops them in their tracks. And then the text goes on into chapter 12, where he begins to tell a story, a parable of the tenants.
Yeah, unfortunately, the chapter heading kind of breaks this up, and really, he would just easily pivot now to this parable that really is explaining exactly what's going on with these guys who are questioning him. A man planted a vineyard and put a fence around it, and he leased it to tenants, and the tenants, of course, that's the nation of Israel. The vineyard, that's obviously God. And servants were sent, and these tenants, who are horrible tenants, started beating on the servants that were sent. And they're just there to receive fruit from the vineyard for the landowner, which is totally appropriate. And at one point they end up destroying these servants. And so finally, the landowner sends his beloved, his dear, his only son, if you will, in verse 6. The hope being, well, surely they'll respect my son, but no. They purpose in their hearts to destroy him, and they kill him, and with the idea that if we kill him, we can get the inheritance and we'll get it all. And this is exactly what's unfolding with Jesus, in that Israel is in the process of rejecting him. Right in the middle of all this.
Right. So this is all happening in real time. And now in hindsight, we look back and see, oh yes, obviously, he was referring to the prophets and the priests and everybody who's coming along. And then finally Jesus, and Jesus eventually here in the next chapter or two will be crucified. But as this is happening in real time, the Pharisees and the scribes, they're starting to understand, no, he's talking about us.
Right.
They're starting to get it, because even in the previous chapter, they talk about making, plotting with the Herodians and the scribes and to destroy, Jesus. And then he's kind of making it pretty clear. Well, the stone that the builders rejected.
Yeah. It's in their face. Have you not read the scripture? I mean, that's an insult in itself. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. So he's totally referring to himself, and they know it, and they're really put off by this. To the extent that in verse 12, they left him and went away. They're done. I don't want to deal with this Jesus guy anymore.
Right. So the text continues on, because we see that his authority extends over everything. And so they try to, once again, trap him with this conundrum, this question. And so what happens next?
Well, again, they're just constantly pushing on him. And, you know, the passage is a sandwich passage where he's cornered by the leaders at the beginning. Then there's this parable. And now, again, he's being trapped and tested. And weirdly enough, by the Pharisees and the Herodians.
Yeah, I remember you mentioned that, yeah.
And the Herodians, I mean, these are the Idumeans. By the way, these guys, the Herodians are just nuts. These are the guys, these are the same people that put John's head on a platter at a party and were having a great time. I think that was pretty cool. And so now here are the Pharisees partnering with the Herodians to somehow trap Jesus. And, you know, you just, this is probably one of the most incredible responses from Jesus as they ask him about, you know, taxes and, you know, should we pay stuff to Caesar? You know, that doesn't seem right, does it, Jesus? You know, what do you think? And so if he says, no, don't pay your taxes, well, now the Romans have a right to come arrest him, right?
Right.
And if he says you do, then, you know, well, wait a minute, we're Israelites. Why should we have to do that? So now he's made, you know, so he, this incredible, hey, bring me a coin, would you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whose face is on that? Yeah. Oh, yeah, Caesar's. Okay, well, why don't you give to Caesar's what's his and give to God's what's God's?
Yeah.
And for me, the ultimate statement there and an indictment for all of us is, you know, what is it that we're not giving to God that we should?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, Caesar, you know, okay, there's taxes, but doesn't everything really belong to him, God anyway. And anyway, it's just an incredible passage.
Right. And you kind of closed off by even referring to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 there with an appeal to even younger people, talking about being bought at a price and honoring God with our bodies. And really it's for everybody here. We owe him everything because everything belongs to him. We have been made in his image.
Yeah, and the whole challenge here was an illustration I used about a guy who just refused to bend his knee to Christ. And the issue being, he wanted to be his own authority. And here Jesus is the ultimate authority. His authority is without question. It's beyond measure and extends over everything, including our very lives.
Right, and it just in a very Markan way to in this passage, it says that, and they marveled at him.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like it appears over and over. It's definitely a theme that Mark is trying to bring out. It's like wherever Jesus was, people were either afraid or marveled at him and his authority. And this is just
Or walking away. Right.
Yeah, so those are your options.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Well, we're excited to have you guys out this next week. We continue on in the Gospel of Mark. We'll see you either at 9:30 or 11 this Sunday. We'll see you.